Good morning and welcome along to today's edition of Farm Focus on Clare FM. It's James Mulhall with you here this morning for a jam-packed programme. We'll be talking calf care with Chagas, we'll be hearing from the new beef plant group, and we'll also be listening to a few bright minds from Clare whose farming project has been creating a bit of a stir at the BT Young Scientist and Technology exhibition. First though, we'll take a quick look at the weather. So breezy and mostly cloudy today with any residual showers from overnight clearing during the morning. Top temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. Mild and windy overnight and mainly dry. Into Sunday then, we'll be expecting a damp, cloudy and blustery start with some patchy outbreaks of rain and drizzle clearing, though it will stay cloudy for the day. Now we'll get straight to it, and Tom Gleeson from Chagas is on the line here. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. So you're talking Calf Care Open Day in Clare today. So I'll just get you to tell us a bit about what that is actually about, first of all.
Yeah, well, James, I suppose just to let you know, there's a calf care event happening this Thursday, the 17th. And it's basically just the purpose behind it is basically people from the sector are coming together. All farmers are invited, naturally enough, and basically be on a farm to discuss basically calf health and calf minding, you know, especially focus on for young calves on all the way upwards, would say.
And why is that actually important around now?
The purpose of the event is to talk about calf health and everything about calf rearing, as well as people are doing on farms. When we think of it from an industry point of view, the amount of the dairy herd in the country has effectively it's effectively doubled in the last 10 years, would say, and as a result of it, there's now over 500,000 calves. We've also got a herd of cows now that tend to calf down, not more compact than what they were doing 10 years ago. So as a result of it, this February coming, there's estimated to be over 500,000 calves born out of dairy herds on the farm this year coming alone. So there's a lot of calves hitting the ground at the same time. A lot of planning to be done to make sure that their mind is right and we bring them up right.
Absolutely, an awful lot, like you say. And who exactly is involved in this event then?
It's a calf care, I suppose, Calf Care Open Day part of it, and basically it's a health check. And it's run in conjunction with Animal Health Ireland, which is coordination of the vet and veterinary groups in the country. And that's working in, it's sponsored in with by Kerry Agribusiness, and the other person, the other crowd is Volic, who did the milk replacer.
And whereabouts is it on, Tom?
Where is it on? That's a good question. So it's on a farm back in Doonbeg. So it's West Clare. So we're bringing people back to West. It's Andrew and Bernadette Killeen. So just to describe it there, Andrew, he's on the farm years ago, and what Andrew has done is Andrew and Bernadette, they built a calf shed, purposely built a calf shed that was ready for use this time last year. So it's a very good demonstration of seeing a new calf shed on the ground and just the whole planning process and what was involved with it and why they decided to go for it and the final product. We can compare that to the old shed as well. Where Andrew is, He's back in Doonbeg. It's just outside Doonbeg, I would say. So it's Newtown Kilkee, I suppose, his official address, which would be, if you're coming from the Kilrush side, you travel towards Kilkee after Myasta Village, you'd be turning right, and it's about 3 miles up the road there. Or alternatively, if you're traveling from Doonbeg, you travel towards Kilkee, and after Balaha, you turn left. There will be signposts on both roads, on the Kilkee to Kilrush Road and on the Doonbeg to Kilkee Road, and it'll be signposted to the farm itself on the morning.
And on the day itself, what topics will be discussed?
Yeah, I suppose there's a large area to discuss when it comes to get the calf rearing from start to finish. So the four areas that they're going to drill down on the day itself is scouring calves, urinary disease in calves. The other two topics then is the calf sheds and bedding material. And the last topic will be handling of calves and movement of calves and transportation of calves.
So in terms of animal housing then, what areas will be discussed?
Yeah, on the housing front there, so we'll look at the new house. Now, obviously, we'll get ideas for the old house. So things like airspace per calf that's required, you know, how fit for purpose are their old houses, especially when people have to deal with calf overflows. We're also looking at things like line space, how much space do you need for calf? And people often estimate the amount of space they have for a young calf, but then as calf gets older, they need more space. So just planning for things like that. The ventilation in the shed is a massive thing, as we all know, so just keeping the shed. That there's a constant circulation of air, there's a good microclimate in there, and there's also that it's draft free. The other sections within the housing, James, would be the bedding. So what bedding material is best used for calves at what specific ages? And, you know, so people are all talking about how much straw should they use? Can they use slats instead of straw versus lying on concrete versus lying on sawdust? Or, you know, so it's different. There's so many different products out there. So just to discuss them, what's the best practice ones? So just generally, I suppose, housing cells. I'm just thinking, have I forgotten anything there, James? So lighting, airspace. Yeah, that'd be much it. Water, clean water, feed supply, you know, just the general, being prepared, having a ready purpose made shed. For a lot of people do lose time with calves in the springtime, and if they end up with, for some reason, if some calves are not sold on time and there's extra calves on in the yard, you end up moving calves into smaller sheds and maybe certain areas around the farm where you can find space for them. And a lot of time is lost in moving to various multiple points to feed and manage the calves and mind them. So just the time management issues come into it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's going to be discussed around the likes of manual handling and the transport of calves?
Yeah, so manual handling. So naturally enough, when calves are born, moving calves, I mean, moving a very young calf, generally speaking, people tend to lift a calf. You're lifting an animal that's typically 40 kilos in weight, and there's a risk of moving while you're lifting the animal as well. And also that calf, you know, you're also moving a calf over uneven ground and possibly from one shed into the other and possibly into the dark as well. You wouldn't know. So, you know, just things like, you know, the best practice around manual handling of any weight in general, from footwear to posture to stretches. The other thing, I suppose, we're going to focus on there is basically when the calves get a bit older and they're walking around and they're moving that way, you know, what's the best practice in terms of the regulations that are out there, but also in terms of animal behaviour, in terms of the best way to move calves, say, from one shed to the other, move them in small groups and so on. And then in the next part, when calves are moving into a trailer, what's the best practice as regards trailers, you know, how many can fit into a trailer layout and size. So just the whole things of handling calves to transportation of calves.
You mentioned calf scour earlier as well. So is that a big issue in dairy farms?
It is. It is. I think they were saying there's figure there I just came up with there. Sorry, I didn't come up with that. I found. Sorry, James. Yeah, up to 40% of calf deaths in the first 6 weeks of life are scour related. And that comes from the calf manual there that was written 2 years ago. No, so it is actually the most common health problem affecting young cattle and milk-fed animals out there. So we'll have a vet there talking about basically calf scours itself, the cause of them, recognising the symptoms and to recognise when a calf is sick fairly early on, best treatments, use of electrolytes, prevention, and knowing the different types of scours that's out there. So, you know, it's a big area. Every farmer that's ever reared a calf is very, very much familiar with scours. So it's just to brush up on the best course of action as regards diagnosis and treatment on time.
Absolutely. And what advice will be given to Jones disease herds?
Yeah, Jones disease, I suppose, it's kind of, as you know, it's a disease that can typically be spread from the mother to the dam, say, to the calf, and it can be spread very much at the time of the calf, when the calf has been born. So it's just to, you know, and it's a degenerative gut disease that can, you know, make an animal ill over time and eventually they waste away, and it kicks in when they get older in life. So it's a disease we're trying to eradicate on dairy farms, on farms in general, across the board. So all the best practice on this is basically about removing the calf on time, or basically keeping the cow clean, keeping the calf clean at the very start. So for this part, there will be a vet on board, and the vet from Ireland will be in a calving shed discussing the best practices for calving down the cows and the calf-cow care at those initial 24 hours.
Absolutely, Tom. Listen, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Tom Gleeson there. Time for a quick break now, but plenty more to come. Welcome back to Farm Focus here on Clare FM. James Mulhall with you here today. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a Clare student at the BT Young Scientist exhibition. But first, I've been chatting with Joseph Wolfe from Quilty, who is the Clare rep of the new beef plant group set up last year. Now, they held their first Clare meeting this week, and Joseph explained what they're all about.
I suppose the primary aim is to get an increase on the price of cattle. So when they sell their animal, they'll receive more money for it. It's at an all-time low at the moment, but it's been at quite a steady low for the last 20-odd years. The cattle, if you sold an animal 20-odd years ago and sold it today, you'd more or less get the same price.
What is it that you feel that the Beef Plan Group could bring that maybe the existing farm organisations aren't doing?
I suppose the first thing is identifying that there is a problem, and some other farmer groups seem to think that there isn't. But this group fully has all the members saying that there is 100% a problem. And after that, once you realise you have a problem, what are the solutions in order to sort the problem? We'll have to come up. And some of those are such as what we see in other countries, because we have been searching for information and data in other countries to see what they do, is the cattle trimming. The government have introduced the checks to go from 2% to 3%. We would like to see camera footage in all abattoirs, watching and monitoring the slaughtering of all of them, which would bring 100% kind of 100% view, 100% checking on all animals. So that issue of was there mistakes done wouldn't happen. If this had been done in Scotland, it's been very, very successful. So that's just one example. There's 86 points to the plan. So I wouldn't have enough time to go through all of them, but the points are many.
And I know you had your first meeting during the week here in Ennis, and pretty strong attendance I gather from that.
Yes, there was over 300 at the meeting, which was brilliant to see. We had parish newsletters told throughout the county about the meeting to go on, so every Sunday at Sunday Mass and Saturday Mass, farmers could pick up the newsletter and see where the meeting was held. It was also texted in to Clare FM, Clare Champion, Clare People, and other local medias that would let the farmer know. And 1,500 flyers were given out by the committee. We have a Clare committee of 14 members, and they helped get the word out there.
Joseph Wolfe from the Beef Plan Group there, and we'll be hearing more from him over the coming weeks as well to find out more about that group. Now, finally, I'm just going to swing over to Killaloe to students from St Anne's Community College there who've been presenting their app Farm Finder at the Young Scientist Exhibition in Dublin. So Sarah McHugh, Adam Fogarty and Elise McWay are the brains behind it, and I spoke firstly with Sarah.
Well, all three members of the team come from a farming background. So myself and Elise's father, they're actually farmers. So because of that, all three of us knew how dangerous the farm and the machinery livestock could be. So we felt like we needed to promote farm safety. And also last year, unfortunately, we endured our friend's tragic farm accident. So we felt we just wanted to do something for him as well.
And that's something, I suppose, that is quite common nowadays. Unfortunately, we do hear about accidents on farms, be it injuries or worse. So it is very important to highlight this issue. Have you found, that people were very interested in the idea when you were talking about it?
Yeah, even from our research, with statistics, we knew farm safety was a big issue, but we never realised like how many people actually are involved in them. So being able to tell the public, even those statistics itself, not even our office, they were amazed. So just that alone.
And I suppose when you're kind of talking about how the idea came about there, your own backgrounds, maybe a lot of people who are in farming now, they're that bit older. So maybe, mightn't be as tech savvy as the younger people. But I suppose, would your dads maybe have been very interested in it when you were telling them about it as an idea?
Well, as the app was developed, we needed people to trial the app. So for us, we set off our two farmers to trial the app for us, which was our dad. And they were really overwhelmed of how good it actually worked for them. And they didn't expect it to be that standard for what we had told them. And we also, we set off with surveys one day to the local co-op. And we got a group of farmers to do the survey. So we got feedback from them as well.
And it's, a relatively simple idea, but one that maybe can benefit an awful lot of farmers, do you feel?
Yeah, definitely. And it would allow farmers to work alone, knowing their minds are at ease and their family know they're safe.
That's perfect, Sarah. And I might get you to pop me on to Elise there now, if that's okay.
Okay, no problem. Hi.
Hi, Elise. I suppose just get yourself to talk about the preparation side of things. So Sarah was kind of telling me a bit about how the idea came about there. And I suppose once you kind of had the initial idea, it was a matter of kind of sitting down and thinking, right, how do we do this?
Well, at the start, we started brainstorming ideas of what we were going to do for the Young Scientist competition. And we kind of knew we wanted to do something about farm safety from the very start because of obviously the farming background. So we started looking up statistics about all the farming accidents that we could try help. And the main like reason why most of the accidents occurred was because people were working alone and they weren't found for ages because obviously they were working alone and people didn't know anything happened to them. So we wanted to try help this, and we like brainstormed for ages and ages about what we could make, and we had regular meetings meeting up with each other still thinking about what app we could make, and we finally came up with Farmer Finder. So when we set up the app, we needed to know how many people would actually use our app, so we created a survey and we sent it to our local co-op in Broadford. There was 30 sent in, and most of the local farmers filled in applicants, and we got loads of really good results back, as like 96% would use our app and think it was beneficial. So there we got really determined to make our app and try help everybody with the farm safety side of things.
And I suppose a reaction like that would kind of drive you on that bit as well. And you do need to kind of get the farmers' opinions really to kind of maybe see exactly where you were going to bring the project. You needed to kind of find out from the farmers what their biggest concerns were.
Yeah, so we wanted to like, yeah, obviously getting the good reviews back really like promoted what we were going to do and really like made us determined on finishing our idea. But like what we were mainly concerned about was the older generation not really like being in touch with their smartphones or like not really using it. But we were kind of saying, oh, well, we could help the future generation, not like instead of helping like older generations as well. We could use, we could help the future generations and, yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's a fantastic idea, Elise. And I'll get you to put me on to Adam there and he'll tell us a bit about the app.
Thank you.
Hi, Adam. So you're getting to talk about the app itself. So Sarah and Elise have told us, I suppose, a bit about how the idea came about and how you were actually going about the preparation, gathering the information and all that. So I suppose it all boils down to the app itself. I'll just get you to tell us a bit about how it actually works.
Well, the app uses the accelerometer already built into every phone, and it can detect whether the person using the app is moving or not. So it's quite simple, really. All they have to do is they go into their settings and they can input their name and their contact name and mobile number. And then they can choose the length of time of inactivity before we notify them, from 1 to 10 minutes. And then all they have to do is save that information and hit enable. And the app does everything in the background. It it detects whether they're moving or not. And if they're not moving, a timer is started for the length of time that they've chosen. And when that time runs up, an alert is sent to their phone with a button that pops up. So if they're active and they're okay, if they hit the button, it resets the app and it just keeps working away. But if they don't respond, it'll then send an SMS to their chosen contact.
Fantastic stuff indeed, and best of luck to them. Certainly some bright futures ahead there. That's our lot for this week. The podcast will be up online from Monday to listen back, and of course Country Corner is up next. I'll speak to you next week.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.